This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 10th, 2019. The 21st Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Cherish the hope that God gives. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The three readings today emphasize something. They all speak of the resurrection. That first reading today from the Old Testament is the first and consummate Old Testament reference we have to the resurrection. It's implicit in other places, but it's very explicit there. But we can't just focus our attention on what happens to us after we're dead, the resurrection. There is also something that is a thread throughout those readings that is very explicit, and that is hope. Oftentimes, I'll be talking about something, and I'll hit hope, and I'll throw out this little ancillary remark about our hope isn't, you know, of this world. It's not like this. It's not like that. It's a holy hope. And then I kind of have to move on to whatever I'm talking about. But when we look at holy hope, it is something, it is much more profound than forethought. Hope is not forethought, not hope that we have as Catholics. It's not a forethought. It's not about something that happens in the future. It is about the here and the now. Because God is not the God of the dead, as it says in the gospel. He is the God of the living. That doesn't discount that he's the God of the dead. Of course he's the God of the dead, but we can't leave him there. You know, we can't be myopic on who he's got. You know, I go to church because someday I'll go to heaven and then I'll really worry about this faith thing. No, we really got to worry about the faith thing now to get into heaven. This is what the common thread between the resurrection and the hope is throughout these readings. This idea that hope is not a forethought. It is something that you have to live here and now. It is something. Hope is a grace. It's a supernatural. It is a virtue that we are not born with. It is not natural to us. It is one of the theological virtues. Faith, hope, and charity. Hope is not something that we have. I mean, we can hope for this and hope for that in this world, just like I anticipate that this may happen. That's not the theological virtue of hope. The theological virtue of hope is to be lived here and now. And you know when it's manifest? When things aren't going particularly well. And that's like the high end. Not particularly well, I should say, but when bad things happen. When very bad things happen to you, that is when hope shines forth. That first reading today, I usually beef about when things are left out of the lectionary, you know, when there's a break, and it's usually about judgment or hell or something like that, which it usually is. Actually, there's some stuff left out of that reading that I would go, yeah, you might want to leave that out. Because it talks about what these people are enduring. And when I say people, these young men. And you want to use that term loosely because some of them are children. What they are enduring, and there's not even a bunch of graphic details in Scripture, just knowing what is happening to them kind of passes the pale of decorum in here where we have little ones. Okay? You don't want your little... But I would actually suggest to go home and read 2 Maccabees chapter 7. And it kind of puts the icing on the cake of what I'm talking about, what these men endured. I use, again, the term men loosely because these are young men and male children. We have to appreciate the fact that they showed forth and they actually explicitly say hope. They talk about the resurrection being raised, but they say a holy hope that this is going to happen. It's kind of interesting to see the way the Scriptures present things to us. You know, if you read the book of Maccabees, which I would highlight, 1 and 2 Maccabees is awesome. I don't read the Bible. If you can't read First and Second Maccabees, there's a problem, okay? It's like any cool movie that you've ever seen. There's war, there's battle, there's intrigue, there's all kind of awesome stuff going on, all right, if you're into such things. It's exciting. So you're going to worry about anything, First and Second Maccabees. But, again, the focus in Maccabees is on these soldier guys, Maccabeus, the hammers. They don't put up with anything. They won't do anything. They're crushing this and crushing that, and they're righteous. It's tremendous. Read it. These are not soldiers. This is a mother and her sons, a mother and her children. Well, why did they throw that in there? Because that's kind of, I'm a Catholic, and I don't like to read about people suffering and things like that. Because it's real. Because that is what happened. And it tells us that God expects things of the average person, not the hammers of the faith, not cardinals and bishops and popes and saints, that we are all called to endure martyrdom. And when we hear that word, we have this almost instantaneous shutdown. Nobody's going to throw me to lions. Nobody's going to set me on fire. I don't have to worry about that. Martyrdom, why do we have these kind of examples? Because they're high end. If these individuals, these martyrs, the martyrs of the early church, no matter what they, you read the horror stories about what they did to these men and women. When we see that and we go, if they could put up with that, I should be ashamed. I should be ashamed that when little things, comparatively speaking, happen in my life, I'm all devastated and I'm shaking my fist at God and I'm questioning this and questioning that. That's why God does this to people. Not just getting thrown to lions, but the little martyrdoms of your life. I'm not going to go through the list. Name your poison. Everybody's got them. Yeah? Physical ailments, whether they be flu-like symptoms that are going to go away in a couple days, that you have in the back of your mind, they're going to go away, or cancer that's terminal. That's a martyrdom. The martyrdom. How are you going to glorify Christ in what is going on here? Because that has traction. When things are going well in your life, hey, honey, how was your day? Perfect. Praise God. Yeah, it's real easy to praise God when it was perfect. You get a lot of traction when it's, how was the chemo today? Ugh, I'm saying, it's God's will. That is tremendous. That goes far. This is what we have to appreciate about when those things happen. Make something of them. Do something with them. And it just doesn't have to, I'm not sick. I'm not. Family relationships. Betrayal. Rebellion. Kids. Things like that. I don't want to talk about betrayal. I'm not talking about somebody getting up and leaving you, for someone else or anything. Although that happens. That's betrayal, like par excellence. The betrayal, like looking at somebody and go, I never expected that of you. I thought more of it. I'm ashamed that this, that, the other thing happened. That's a martyrdom. How are you reacting like that? Why is so-and-so all mopey today? Why are they this is going on, that's going on. And most people would go, I can appreciate being mopey. If you're not mopey, and I'm not talking about walking around with a goofy grin on your face when bad things are happening, but I am talking about praising God still. Yeah? Easy to be a good Catholic when everything's perfect. But when it's not, this is what we have to understand and appreciate. This is evangelism. This is advancing the kingdom of Christ. Because when we face these things, we receive graces. We receive God's graces to endure them. You receive the grace of endurance, just to put up with it. The vast majority of people, read the Second Maccabees chapter 7. I won't get into it. We're going to do this to you. And you read it and go, How could a human being do that to another human being? How could that happen? But when they do threaten with the vast majority of people, the pagan, oh, what do you want me to do? You want me to burn incense? You want me to say Jesus Christ wasn't even real? You want me to say it's all a myth? I'll say anything. Don't do that to me. Okay. We kind of live our own life in our own martyrdoms, those smaller ones like that. Take this away from me. I don't deserve this. Bad things happen to good people. All that kind of stuff. No, we need to approach them with an acquiescing to God's will to appreciate what He is doing in our lives. St. Francis, it's not better to be rich than it is to be poor. It's not better to be healthy than it is to be sick. You know, in our humanity, we go, oh yeah, it is. It's much better to be rich than poor. Oh yeah, it's much better to be healthy. St. Francis knew what he was talking about. That's why he's St. Francis. He said, because that's where God puts you in a certain time to honor Him and to witness for Him. Yeah. St. Francis, I was talking to the adult forum today. St. Francis is not the saint of the bird bath. Okay? That's not who St. Francis was. St. Francis was a physical wreck for the last few years of his life. He could not walk. He had to be carried around. He was blind. And guess what? He continued to praise God in that circumstance, even when they tried to make it better. Can you imagine having your eyes operated on in the 13th century? I'll be blind. Okay? That's what St. Francis endured, but he stayed faithful. God gives us endurance to endure these things. If He gave St. Francis endurance to endure that, or these kids to endure what they endured, again, we should be ashamed. We would not endure what we have to. God would give you the graces to do so. God will train. I like a lot of people, you know, I've actually had people in tears before when they were talking about and saying, I know I couldn't do that. I know I couldn't face that. I know I couldn't face. Guess what? You're absolutely correct. You couldn't. But the graces of God can strengthen you to endure those things. Yeah? God can give you so many graces, you actually even pop off to the people who are doing it to you. You know, these kids, I mean little kids, we're going to do this to you, we're going to do that to you. And you've watched your other brothers, you know, that's one thing, the potential of, hey, they might do that to me. No, we are going to do it to you, and look what it looks like. Watch your brothers scream in agony over what's going on, but still remain faithful. And then to look at the guy who's going to do it to you and go, you accursed wretch. Wow, I might just make yours a little bit worse. But no, God gives them the strength to say, you accursed wretch. Or one to say, hey, I may raise from the dead, but I know you won't, in a nutshell. All the greatest of saints do stuff like that. St. Polycarp, love him. This dude's an old man. He's at least 86 years old. And back in these days, when you died in your 30s or 40s, this guy's 86, over. And if you don't recant Jesus Christ, we're going to throw you to the beasts. Whatever. Really, old man? We'll set you on fire. This is a quote. You threaten me with fire that burns for an hour and is extinguished, but you know nothing of the fire of the coming judgment and eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. Why are you waiting? Bring on whatever you want. You don't say that of your own human nature. You know, I want to die in my bed. Disgusting. I want to die in my bed. No, you don't. You want your death attended. You want to know it's coming so you can prepare yourself. And when it does come, to be able to thumb your nose at Satan like these people, that comes from God. It's a grace. Because that's what hope is. It's a grace. Hope, a simple definition for us, a holy hope, it's the fulfillment of God's promises based on our faith. Based on our faith. It is a test of your faith when these things happen to you. It's a test for you. You know, God knows your heart. He knows what you're made of. And He'll give you the graces. He will not put any more on you than you can bear. You know, I talk with a lot of people. I can't take any more. Hey, you're absolutely correct. You probably can. But guess what? God can give you the graces and He can hold you up and make you endure. This is what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ at his death. What went on with our Lord Jesus Christ? A healthy, strapping man who was scourged. A good portion of them died during the scourging. It was that horrible. We have our Lord Jesus Christ who fasts all the time, who's weak, has been already beaten, and hasn't been sleeping, and they scourge him. He should have died, but he didn't. When he was carrying the cross, he should have just thrown it off and gone, I'm not walking anymore. Kill me right here and now. But he kept on going. You know why he kept on going? Because of the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit actually made him endure what human beings cannot. His 40 days of not eating and drinking, also in the desert. That couldn't be true because you'd die. Yes, you would, but he didn't because the Holy Spirit sustained him. He just got to suffer that long, and it got worse and worse and worse. We will receive graces to overcome these things if we have faith in the God who is true, omnipotent, and good. Not good in an abstract, what I think is good, but truly good. I don't deserve this. If God's putting it on you, yeah, you do. We can sit in the office, I'll tell you all the reasons why you deserve it. Okay? But you have to understand that God is truly good. And he would never do anything that's evil to you. So we have faith in a God like that, and we have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ who has merited us the fulfillment of the promises that God the Father has made to us. If he sealed this in his own blood, we should have no question. If we just have a little bit of faith. And our Lord Jesus Christ just didn't leave it at the cross. I mean, he ascended into heaven. And we look at the incarnation, we say, yeah, God, God came down from heaven and he clothed himself with our flesh so he could die for our sins. Okay, what did he do with the flesh afterwards? He rose it from the dead of his own power, and then he ascended into heaven with it. So when we look at that, God as man ascended and placed our nature that he took upon himself at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, confirming us that we just don't get separated from the body and float around on the clouds up there, holy, 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 and all that good stuff. You're going to be in heaven in the body in which you're sitting there right now. Glorified, yes. Perfect, yes. But the same body. Our Lord has confirmed this for us. This is the holy hope. Faith in that God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is fostered. And this is where it gets practical. I don't feel like I have any hope. Well, guess what? You can actually help that. The means of grace. First and foremost, the sacraments. I go to Mass on Sunday. Guess what? If you go more often, you'll have more graces. Your hope will increase. Your faith will increase. Your charity will increase. You go to the confessional more often. Your faith will increase. Your hope will increase. Your charity will increase. Not to mention the sacramentals, yeah, the things that we do, rosaries, novenas, all these things. Yeah. Reading the scriptures, prayer, learning what the traditions of the church have always been. Those things increase our hope. I don't feel like I have a hope. Well, you know what? If you just go to Mass on Sunday afternoon, deal with that. Because that's all you're going to get, because you're not asking for any more. You must. This is how we practically increase our hope. I just don't feel like I have a whole lot of hope. I'm sort of a wreck when it comes to that kind of stuff. One of the early church fathers said, many an old and rotten ship has reached harbor. We live in Florida. Most of us have gone to harbors before. I watch guys get on fishing boats and go, I wouldn't step on that thing if it was tied to the dock. And these guys get on it and they go out in the ocean with it. It's like, that's an old rotten boat. It gets them back home because they nurture it along. That's most of us. Yeah. The whole aquatic analogy, look at a ship, like the Titanic. Yeah. The most stately vessel on the seas at the time. And it pulls out of a port on its first voyage, and what happened? Bottom of the ocean. over 1,000 dead. Okay? Why? Oh, there was some cataclysmic storm. No, it hit a piece of hard water. Okay? Piece of ice. A piece of ice sent the stately thing to the bottom of the sea. You know, let's not even mention that little trivial thing of that plaque they had hanging in it that said, not even God can sink this ship. Yeah. Yeah. How's that working out for you? It doesn't matter if you're an old rotten ship. You can reach harbor. Yeah. There's some people, you know, I mean, that is manifest in our faith. For some examples, Solomon. Yeah. He's like the Titanic. Solomon was one. The scriptures tell us there was no one has ever been or will ever be as wise as Solomon. It's kind of weird in our day and age. We got rocket scientists and brain surgeons and we know this and we got atomic physicists and all this kind of stuff. And the scriptures tell us that Solomon was wiser than them. Yeah, the difference between wisdom and knowledge. But he was wiser than them. We're not sure that Solomon's in heaven. There's a big question mark as to whether Solomon's in heaven or not, because his life took such a downturn at the end. Idolatrous, adulterous. Man, again, there's a big question mark of whether he's even in heaven, and this is the wisest man who ever lived. And then we got other people like St. Augustine, womanizer, false religion, illegitimate son, St. Mary Magdalene, seven demons. And that's not the numeric number of demons in her. It's that evil was perfect in her life. And now it's St. Augustine and St. Mary Magdalene. That's how God works. They were old, rotten boats, but they got to heaven, and now they just didn't get to harbor. They're actually saints of Holy Church. This is because of the graces that our Lord Jesus Christ has put upon them. If we live with a holy hope, companion with that beginning of wisdom, which is a holy fear. Those two things, holy fear and a holy hope, you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. And I don't mean when you get to heaven. I'm talking about the way your life goes and you deal with it, particularly the martyrdoms, those bad things. Fear and hope are companions. A holy fear makes us prudent. Prudent. I don't want to offend God. Yeah, keeps you on the straight and narrow for the most part. Fear makes us prudent and hope makes us strong. Those two things, prudence and strength. Your interior life is perfection. Just go about your business and all will be well. But we have to ask and pray and engage, cooperate with the grace of hope. At the end of the day, we want to rise, and we will. You know, these men, young men are enduring what they're enduring. It's so much pain and this and that, but it's fleeting. I know I'm going to rise again. Why? Because God promised it. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us this. You know, we've got to, you know, when we work with that prudence and that strength, that fear and that hope, you know, we're looking at rising again, because not everybody does. Not everybody does. Just because I gave the big, you know, spiel about a rotten ship can get to harbor, there are a lot of rotten ships at the bottom of the sea also. So don't be presumptuous. Because our Lord Jesus Christ said, all who are in the tombs will come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. We need to pray for ourselves. We don't pray a lot for ourselves. We need to pray for other people in this situation, that, but we need to pray for ourselves also, that our holy hope is increased, because that is what, as I said, makes us strong in the faith. It says in that second reading, I'll leave you with this. Pray that we be delivered from evil, for not all have faith. We need God to put the shield up, that we're not influenced by trash in this world. But even when we are influenced by it, and the circumstances of being in this sin, cursed, and fallen world, like sickness, death, and all these kind of things, if we've asked for an increase in holy hope, we're going to be able to persevere. And we're at least going to, in faith, understand that the promises will be fulfilled because our God has said so. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.